This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top stories of the day. That game last night between the Bison Bills and the Baltimore Ravens. That was awesome. Those are the two best teams in the NFL right now. That was the only game that made sense. So many other games throughout the day and whatever did not look great. But that one was must-see television. Ravens were up 15 in the final 4 minutes of that game. Derrick Henry, of all people, fumbles the ball, and that started the comeback. Now, I like to give Josh Allen a hard time because it's basically Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Mahomes is still there, but it does kind of feel like there's a shift in the NFL world, and those are the two best quarterbacks in the NFL today. That was incredible. Part of that game's... Yeah. People don't like my Bison Bills thing. There's no Buffalo, right? It's not a Buffalo. After the game, Lamar Jackson was seen shoving a fan who slapped Jackson on the helmet. It was during the game. He threw the 29-yard pass to DeAndre Hopkins, which was a one-handed grab by Hopkins. That was phenomenal. A fan wearing a Bills jersey initially hit Hopkins on the helmet before doing the same to Jackson, who immediately delivered a two-handed push that sent the fan falling backward. The fan was ejected from the stadium. Any issues with that? I honestly, the guy touches Lamar Jackson. You got fans touching, dude. Not high fives, but like touching him. Now, I know I'm a Lamar apologist, but, you know, I have no issue with Lamar's retaliation on that one.
I haven't seen the video, I think a court of law would say fan touched first, he did the right thing.
Yeah, you can put your hand out to try to high five him, but outside of that, you're not supposed to do that kind of thing. Mike Vrabel says Bill Belichick is welcome at Patriots facility. Now, last week, Bill Belichick said that Patriots scouts and such are not welcome because he's not welcome there at New England facilities. But Mike Vrabel said, to the best of my knowledge, he is welcome. He can come here and check out whatever he wants to. He said, Bill came back for, to the best of my knowledge, Tom's ceremony. So I guess he's welcomed back on the fact that he was already here. I'll just go by that. Since his departure as the head coach here, he's been back. I'll leave it at that. Weird. Boy, that relationship between Kraft and Belichick sure went south in a hurry. But Vrabel trying to put some of that fire out. Belichick last week said, I'm not welcome there, so why would I welcome them here? Strange situation. Russell Wilson, trouble for Russell Wilson already. Head coach of the New York Giants, Coach Dable, said he's not committing to the Week 2 starter for the Giants going forward. They lost 21-6 to the Washington Commanders, and Russell Wilson was rough in that game. He went 17 of 37. He threw for 168 yards with no touchdowns or interceptions in the loss. I believe that was my quarterback toilet bowl pick was Russell Wilson. Did I win that? I don't remember how everybody else did, but I feel like I did all right on that side of it. The old toilet bowl the new fun segment we're doing on Fridays. I think that was good enough where we can keep going on that. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Mike, you want to do some Diamond Valley Collectibles trivia? What do you think? You want to hit that up?
I do.
All right, so here's the deal. Diamond Valley Collectibles trivia. Diamond Valley Collectibles is in Windsor, and they got everything, dude. Cards, sports memorabilia. I'm a big memorabilia guy. Pokemon, Legos, Funko Pop, like all those little characters. It is an awesome little store. You have to check this place out. We're going to talk to the owners later this week, so I'm excited about that.
Can they bring the store with them?
What does that mean? Oh, they bring all their stuff in? No.
Yes, I would like
you're going to have to go there. You're
going
to have to get on your scooter, and you have to scoot it on over to Windsor. And you have to check out everything that they have to offer, because it's phenomenal.
I don't think I can make it.
So here's the deal. Every day, we're going to ask a trivia question. You get it right, you're automatically entered into Friday's pick of the $20 gift certificate. If you win the gift certificate, if we announce your name Friday, you're in the mix to win a $100 gift certificate and an autographed NFL jersey, I believe. We're getting the details Wednesday for sure, but either way, it's a $100 gift certificate and a signed jersey. If you don't like it, you can probably trade it or sell it to somebody else.
Give it to me.
Yeah, maybe give it to Michael if that's what you want to do. So here, do we have trivia? Do we have trivia music? Did we forget that part, Mike? We forgot to call Justin last segment, and we got to make sure we have an error an hour. I get that. I know you got to keep up with appearances and whatnot. Matt Prater kicks the game winner for the Bills last night. Matt Prater is a former Denver Bronco. He has kicked. He's tied for third of the longest field goals made. He kicked a 64-yard field goal for the Denver Broncos. My question is, which year did he do that? Which year did Matt Prater kick that field goal for the Denver Broncos, 64 yards? Call now, 970-353-1310. That's 970-353-1310. Matt Prater, former Denver Broncos kicker, kicked a 64-yard field goal at one point in his career. He did that with the Broncos. I need the year that he did it. And you will be entered for the $20 gift certificate at Diamond Valley Collectibles. You're Googling it. Stop Googling it. You should know this, Broncos fans. Michael knows it. You knew this.
I know everything.
So call now, 970-353-1310. Which year did Matt Prater kick a 64-yard field goal for the Denver Broncos? 970-353-1310. The poll question of the day is up, and I just want to know today, like, after we've had a few days to let this information sink in, we've seen all the different angles and all the different clips in that Bears-Rams game, was it a catch or was it an incompletion? Close down to the middle right here. 47% say it was a catch. 53% say it was an incompletion. I had a texter earlier say, well, how many of these are Rams fans that are on your social media following? That's true, but that's a Bears problem. I want more Bears followers. This show kind of goes the way that the listeners want it to go. We talk a lot more Rams than we do Bears, although I have a 1 hour at least a week podcast with UNC head coach Ed Lamb called Football 52. So I certainly put in the Bears talk. And get this, breaking news, we're going to have Carver Cheeks on the show tomorrow. That guy has an interesting story. Entered the portal. Decided the portal life wasn't for him. Asked to come back. Ed Lamb has a rule. Once you enter that portal, it's over. But you can come back as a walk-on. You can work your way back up. And boy, I would say he has worked his way right back up the list. Carver Cheeks and Braden Monroe seem to be the number one and two targets for whoever's throwing that football. And in this case, it was Eric Gibson Jr., who I was very impressed with over the weekend. Big Hub texting in, Brady, I just want to get down with the nitty-gritty expressing our feelings with CSU. Yeah, I mean, Big Hub's a former player. I'm curious to get former players' thoughts. I'm curious to get Rams' thoughts. How about, maybe that should be a poll question. Do you want Jay Norvell gone? Has Jay Norvell's time as CSU's head coach ran its course? Is it time for a change at the top? And my only problem with firing during the season is, like, who's going to take over? What do you have to gain? Is it Matt Mummy? Is it Tyson Summers, your new defensive, he's been here before, but renewed defensive coordinator? Is it Bill Best? Give him a shot?
You might be the best.
No. That was way too easy and so predictable. Everybody in the audience knew you were going there. That's my question. What good would firing Jay Norvell do in the middle of the season do? What good would that do? Give you the head start on let the world know that you have an opening, I guess? But who would you get?
I wouldn't fire him, like, right now. Like, that would be so stupid. If you didn't win any more games, that would be a fireable offense. If you found yourself at, like, 1-6, that might be a fireable offense. But I'm very much opposed to firing a coach mid-season, especially very early season, unless there are some shenanigans going on in the locker room.
Yeah, I don't think like there's shenanigans going on or anything like that. But
it doesn't seem like that with Norvell. But that would be really the only time I would fire someone very early in the season. I don't think he should lose his job unless it becomes just a drastic situation where they don't win any games after beating UNC.
Yeah, and I mean. Based on the Washington game, I would feel comfortable saying that this team can still win, you know, 6-7. I mean, I've been sitting around the 6 or 7 mark for a while. So I just, did that make me think they're going to lose less? Yes. I think they might be a 5-win team. I mean, that performance was so bad that it leads me down a different path in how I'm thinking Colorado State will do. I was asked last week when I picked Washington to cover, you know, everyone said, oh, Brady's down on the Rams this year. Not necessarily. I'm just higher on Washington than I was CSU, and I thought they'd cover basically 3 touchdowns, a little over 3 touchdowns, and it was close. I think they won by 17 or so, 18. Spread was 21.5. It was about right there. That's, you know, where I thought CSU would be, a good Mountain West team that's probably not good enough to compete with middle tier to upper tier Power Four conference football teams. So, Big Hub says get rid of that $600,000 quarterback. Yeah, but like Justin said, who's going to be who's the guy who then starts for CSU? Or is it just you want to be done with this guy? Because he's a gunslinging kind of quarterback. Didn't have many of those positives in that game over the weekend. I mean, normally with BFN, I would go, all right, he's going to make a good play. He's going to give it. He's going to take it away. He's going to have a great play here. He's going to have a head-scratching play there, an overthrow here, an excellent throw on the run there. Like, Jackson Warren was out of this game, man. He didn't do anything in this game. There's a lot of cause for concern. I think Jackson Warren caught one ball, one catch for 16 yards after he looked so good against Washington. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Texter here, Go Poke, says, what about recruiting? Sometimes you just have to take your medicine. If you know, then you make a move. Yeah, if you already know that he's not going to be the guy for you in the future, then you probably just go ahead and make that move now. Then that way there's not any kind of, oh, well, they upset Boise State. Now that changes things. If that game Saturday did enough to John Weber's mind and Amy Parsons' mind too, who would be in on this conversation, then you wouldn't want a situation where, oh, well, he won 5 in a row to end the season. So he's got a lot of rhythm. He's got a lot of momentum going in, and they won 6, and they're going to a bowl game. A lot of those things can happen. Texter says, Norvell reminds me of Bobo. Maybe. I don't know. I think Bobo's offense was better, wasn't it? Bobo didn't have a great defense. But I felt like his offense was every week. You knew they were going to put up points. That was around the wide receiver U time when we were talking about all these great wide receivers coming through. So you with CSU, I mean, you put up 21 against UNC. You scored what, 21 against Washington? This was supposed to be an offense that's scoring into the 30s, man. I mean, that's the way it was always sold to us. It's a tough spot for CSU. And then on the other hand, for UNC, I mean, what did that game do? They're already recruit really well in the state. What did that do locally for the University of Northern Colorado being on altitude? A lot of local people watching that game over the weekend.
To me, what that says is every recruit that Coach Lamb wants just signed the dotted line.
Maybe.
I mean, like, especially with the way it went down, if I'm getting courted by Coach Lamb and the Bears, I'm watching that game, I see that and I get personally offended, and I'm like, that's the team that wants me and that's how the game ends. I'm signing right there because I'm offended that happened, and I'm so confident in what Coach Lamb is doing.
Well, I mean, when Nico Medved was taking the job at Minnesota, there were a lot of people that were like, hey, what about Steve Smiley? You know, obviously you had your guy in Ali Faroukmanesh, but what if Ali leaves or they don't, what if they just don't want it? What if they want to go with somebody new? I'm getting people message me like, would Ed Lamb make sense for CSU? And I don't know. No, I think Ed took this job because he wanted to do this build-up thing. He didn't want to have this crazy amount of pressure because he could be here for a while and not really feel that pressure for quite some time. So I don't think so. It's not a knock on Ed. Ed still won one game in 2 years. That's the brass facts right there. Brass tacks. Is Ed's got some work to do to prove that he's a good coach still and that he can do it at this in this level and revive this UNC Bears football program. He's got a tall task on his hands.
And keep in mind, one game does not make a season. So this could be a fluke for both teams.
It could be. Yeah. I mean, they got South Dakota coming up. That's no easy game. I mean, they're 0-2, but I mean, I think they had a tough game in that first one and lost last week. I can't remember to who. Oh, Lamar. And I've seen the Bears compete against Lamar. So there's a lot, man, to take from this, but also it could be a fluky. It could have been just a fluky night. There's always that comes into play. 23 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. That was another strange game. The Buffs ended up covering against Delaware, but it didn't quite feel like a straight-up cover. It took them a while to get going. Delaware made that a game. So how are we feeling about the Colorado Buffaloes? It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Your college football, the NFL, and the Broncos. A Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Tell you guys about Renaissance Insurance Group, formed by two UNC Bears alumni. 20 years ago, Renaissance Insurance has always had our backs. They specialize in risk management, commercial, and personal insurance needs. For Weld County and Larimer County, they're the go-to for workers' compensation and farming operations. Don't lose what you've been working so hard for. Call Ryan. Ryan is my dude. Give him a call. 970-674-8825. Yes, farming operations. I've had some calls to the station recently. Hey, who is that guy? Who is that insurance group? Renaissance Insurance Group. They will help you insure your farming operation outfit. 970-674-8825. Or visit them online at team-rig.com. team-rig.com. 1229 the time. Coming up next, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. I mean, it was a weird weekend for the Rams, a weird weekend for the Broncos, and a weird weekend for the Buffs. We haven't even got into the Broncos stuff yet. We will coming up in the final hour of the show. But Mark's going to talk to us about the Buffs. Do we have a quarterback controversy going on in Boulder? We'll get Mark's thoughts on that coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 34 minutes after the hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. Strange weekend for a lot of the area football teams that we talk about. Now, the Buffs win 31-7. They ultimately cover, what was it, 23.5, 24-point spread. The Buffs end up winning big against Delaware. Didn't really feel like that at times. And then we had several quarterbacks getting a shot here. Mark Johnson joining us now, the voice of the Buffaloes. Mark, do we have a little bit of a quarterback controversy going on in Boulder, my friend?
Man, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about that end of that Northern Colorado State.
Oh, what did you think, Mark? Was that a catch?
Oh, without question.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel so bad for Coach Lamb of the Bears up there because of how hard they played and hadn't beaten CSU in 125 years. After our game, I went out. My wife and I went out and had dinner, and we're driving home, and she's in her vehicle, I'm in mine because I went separately, and I got the radio on, and I'm like, whoa. And they scored a touchdown. I'm like, oh, phenomenal, good for them, fantastic. I've gotten to meet all the area coaches during the I was going to say Sonny Lubick, it's not Sonny Lubick. Fisher DeBerry event I do every year, and so I've gotten to know those guys a little bit and really think the world of it. I just felt so good for UNC. And then 30 seconds later, we're overturning it, man. I felt horrible for him.
It was, Mark, I was there at that game, too, and it was just a strange game. I mean, a big show out by the fans and everything. Yeah. So this was huge for UNC, even though they lost games on altitude in front of 36,000-plus. Yep. I mean, it was one of those games, Mark, where you walk out of that stadium and it's like the team that won lost, the team that lost won. That's how it felt.
It did. And then, once I got home, I was able to, see on X and see the different replays of it. And I felt horrible for them. But, all right, guys, regroup, get back to it. But still, you'd love to have that W on it. But so anyway, now back to your question.
Well, I'm sure Bears fans appreciate you going there, Mark.
Now back to your Bears square, your quarterback question. Is it a controversy or is it a question mark? I think that, I know in one of them is both all the time. When you got a controversy, you've got a question mark. Well, the other one might be just a question mark at this point. I don't know. Here's the funny thing. I knew that Prime, when he and I taped the show on Thursday, he didn't tell me anything specific. He made a comment to me off mic about his quarterbacks and some things he was looking at. And it was kind of benign, to be honest with you. And I didn't really think too deeply about it. And then all of a sudden, when you're doing a game, you've got a certain anticipatory aspect of it. But for the most part, you've got kind of a storyline in your head because you've done your preparation. And so the expectation from a quarterback standpoint was, okay, Caden Stalter's going to start. We're going to see Julian Lewis at some point in time. And that was the end of the quarterback storyline. What's beyond that then is, okay, does Julian come in and look fantastic? And then what does that mean? But number 16, Ryan Staub, was not in my head. And so, I'm sitting there and I glance down and, you begin to learn what these guys look like, how they run. We're sitting so far away. You look for certain things just to identify. And so in my mind, I'm doing this game thinking, okay, make sure every time when they come out, the offense comes in the field, I look at the quarterback to make sure I know which one it is. And I looked down there and went, well, who is that guy? That didn't look like either Caden or Juju. And I went, who in the hell would be playing at this point? And then it hit me. Holy cow, that's Ryan Staub. And so I was shocked. And then he went out and bowled out like crazy. And, and created this whole situation. But I'll say this, Brady. He looked like a quarterback standing in the pocket. He climbed the pocket. He manipulated the pocket. He's such a great kid. He stuck through it. We know all the stuff he's gone through. And so I was just tickled with him. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know who's going to start on Friday at Houston, but it certainly is going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, do you think we'll see kind of the quarterback carousel a bit more, or are we going to go with just one guy and give him that real shot?
Well, that's a great question. I can't imagine you're going to see the quarterback carousel. I don't think that's the way that Prime would like. I don't think any football person would like to handle it that way. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have a guy that you utilize in certain situations. I mean, think, who was the guy that was it Chris Leak, who was at Florida when Tim Tebow was running kind of that package that he running out?
Yeah.
And so you can do stuff like that every once in a while, but you don't want a rotation. This isn't defensive linemen where you're rotating guys in and out. And so I can't imagine Prime or any other football person would like that type of situation. So I don't think that's the case. But, you know, there's a coaching friend of mine. And keep in mind, this whole world with NIL changes this entire equation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you got a couple of guys making some darn substantial money here. And then the other guy, by comparison, is, you know, making a bag of chips. And so I sent this out to him. He's been a head coach for a long time. And I sent him a text and I just said, here's the situation in this new world we're living in. And this isn't the NFL where everyone's just got contracts and you're locked into these deals for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it might be. All kinds of things can happen. And he writes back, he's an old school guy. He goes, screw politics, man. You play the guy that's going to get you the wins. And so, you know, I'm sure, you know, Prime's going to think that way. He's all about winning. And so it'll be interesting to see how he kind of massages this thing all week long.
Well, the whole thing is fascinating to me because you have this guy, like you said, even going into the game, you got Juju Lewis. We've talked about him. We saw the big picture of Shedeur Sanders handing the keys to Julian.
Yep.
And then
yep.
You bring Caden Salter in out of Liberty, and he's kind of highly touted. And you got Ryan Staub, who's been with the Buffs, what, Mark? Is this his third year with Colorado?
Third year, yeah.
And so he's kind of like, I mean, backup quarterback to Shedeur Sanders is like the least talked about human being in the history of the world. And then he comes out and has one of these great games, and you end up doing what you were supposed to do against Delaware. So it's fascinating, my friend.
I was at a speaking event last night, a little auction thing that I was doing. And a guy turned out to be a huge CU fan. He came up, and we started talking about kind of this world. This guy is a very, very substantial, successful business guy. So he thinks in those terms. And he just said to me, he said, you know, it's really interesting what we've done. And he said, Julian Lewis may turn out to be a phenomenal quarterback. He said, I hope that's the case. And he goes on to a long NFL career. But he said, do you see? And he goes, well, he said to me, I said, I know you see, because I wonder if people see how backwards we do this. Right? We anoint people before we know what they are. You talked about that poster of handing the keys to Julian from Shedeur. Because we get into this courtship period with these kids, essentially, coming out of high school, we court them and we play into a fantasy of what this is going to be before they earn it. And so we anoint people. We make them into stars. We ultimately are turning them into millionaires very, very quickly. And we're talking the talk and walking the walk, and everything's going to be incredible, and on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And then Ryan Staub shows up, right? And all of a sudden, it's like, well wait a minute. No, that guy's supposed to be the guy. Well, he's not right now. And so it's such a perverted system that we have in how we do these things and how we elevate and anoint all of a sudden, and then reality eventually, you know, you've heard me say this before, the most dangerous word in the English language is potential. You know, we can talk about people's potential all you want. Eventually you have to perform, and you have to do it. And that's where we're getting these things in trouble. And that's why I think, you know, you see a lot of these kids, and they're just, that they were told in the process, I'm going to be him, and then they get there and they're not, so they jump in the portal and go someplace else and try and be him. And then they go out to another place and try and be him. I mean, it's just such a bizarre thing to witness right now.
Yeah, it is. It's fascinating. You know, again, we're talking about Juju. We're talking about Caden, like, all offseason. Is it going to be the 17-year-old that gets this shot? Oh, Coach Prime's throwing out that Juju's going to play against Delaware. What does that mean? And then out of nowhere, or at least to us, Ryan Staub. So you're right. This is a crazy story. I love it, though. This makes it even more entertaining.
Well, you know, over the weekend, I was asked to do a bunch of different shows, and so shows would call me up, and I jump on and talk to them like I'm talking to you. And I said, you know, this is what makes college athletics great. I said, look at this. You had three guys, I think, really four if you think about it, in that game. Okay, Staub's the most obvious. Okay, comes out of nowhere. Ben Finneseth is another one. Durango kid, hangs around, doesn't leave, busts his tail, finds himself as a starting safety. Jeremiah Brown's another guy, linebacker that made some plays the other day. He was with Prime down in Jackson. He's been just, you know, behind all these big-name guys and these transfer guys, and he's just continued to work and find himself. And then Makari Vickers over the weekend all of a sudden finds his way in the field just a few months after having heart surgery. And you know, the old idea of, and I know the term is very antiquated, but the old elbow grease kind of mindset, I'm going to keep working, I'm just going to keep chopping wood, I'm going to keep grinding, I'm going to do all the things we talk about in sports and see if I can find an opportunity. That's the way this is supposed to work. And so, you know, these four guys, I was thinking about that this morning. Those four guys I mentioned, you know, have all kind of stuck to that throwback old school kind of mentality, and they're finding positions, and they're finding playing time and earning playing time instead of being anointed ahead of time. And I enjoy those aspects and those stories of college athletics.
Well, we'll see what that looks like with the quarterbacks going up against Houston. I don't know, Mark. 2-0. They beat up on Rice last week. Yep. They beat up on Stephen F. Austin. But how much do we really know about this opponent? And you know, what are your thoughts here for CU and their chances to start the season 2-1?
Yeah, you know, I'm sitting here this morning, just getting into that kind of stuff and just starting to look at a few things. And you know, I don't know what we really know about anybody, you know, at this point in time. I think they're an okay football team at this point. They might turn out to be better than that. I look at this league right now, I'm going to be honest, Brady, and I go, well, Utah might be pretty good, I guess. I don't know. BYU maybe. I don't know. There's a few teams I look at, but I'm not sure who is really good, because I think everybody in the first couple of weeks has got some blemishes, right? I mean, look at Alabama. What do you think of Alabama? They get beaten the first week. They come back next week and win 70-0 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so how do you grade some of these teams early on? It's a tough thing to do. You know, I was sitting here this morning looking at some numbers. You know, okay, we think of last year's Colorado team as really being something special. Turned out to be pretty darn good. Colorado's offensive numbers are better right now than they were last year through two games. So what does that mean?
Wow, yeah.
Their defensive numbers are better in some respects than they were a year ago. They got fewer penalties than they do a year ago. Colorado just set a record. They didn't turn a ball over for two straight games. That set a record for them. And so, you know, you look at those things, it's what's an old line about there's lies, damn lies, and statistics, you know? So we sit here 2 weeks in, and we try to evaluate this, and I'm not sure what we really know at this point. I think I've got a couple of ideas about Colorado, but I'm not sure at this point, and I kind of feel the same way about Houston right now. There are some things you look at and go, I think they're pretty good. I think they run the ball pretty well from what I can tell at this point in time. I think their defense is okay, but you know, we'll find out. You know, Gary always says to me every year, Mark, you don't know what you have until you play five games. Five games, you know. Then we all know exactly what we are. So at this point, I think Colorado's needle is still pointed up as far as I'm concerned. Houston, I think, is a question mark a little bit at this point in time. Maybe as many questions as Colorado has. But you know, at least we'll get some answers come Friday night in September in Houston. Boy, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'm bringing my telecom powder, I can tell you that.
Well, you're 100% right, though, especially in this day and age. Like, week one, week two, week three, that doesn't really tell us much, let alone, you know, fall camp. None of that stuff means anything anymore. So we're still learning about all of these teams. Like, even for the UNC-CSU game, was that a fluke? You know, is UNC going to come back down to earth and be, you know, they've been rough for several years. Is that going to be who they are? CSU, was that just overlooking UNC? Who knows? So many things we have yet to see, and you're probably right about the 4 or 5 week mark.
Yeah, it's kind of a tough, you know, I'm sitting here, I've just got Houston stats in front of me. You know, they're averaging 26 points a game, just like Colorado is. Giving up 17 points a game. similar to what Colorado is. Teams are running on them effectively. I mean, they're right now. Teams are going for over 200 yards a game against them through two games. So again, you kind of look at it and go, well, I think that might mean something. You know, I saw Georgia Tech ran for 320 yards against Colorado, put up 670 or something in their game over the weekend, and yet they're a dog coming up with a game this weekend. And so, you know, I'm glad I'm not a wise guy in Las Vegas trying to figure this out and lay lines every week, because I have a tough time figuring it out this early in the season.
Yeah, you and me both. My friend Mark, always appreciate it, man. What time do you guys get rocking and rolling this weekend?
It's an early evening game, so we kick off at 5:30 Mountain Time on the Colorado Football Network, and so 3:30 pregame on Friday afternoon. And did you see this? And I know this kind of affects all of us in this part of the country. We just got our game time for Wyoming the following week.
I saw that.
Love those 8:15 games. can you hear the sarcasm of my voice when I say that? Because that means we really won't get underway until about 8:30.
Yep.
We won't get done until 11:30 or 12, and then by 1 o'clock to 1:30 to 2 o'clock in the morning, that's when I'll be leaving the stadium. And yeah, that's always a lot of fun. And then, of course, the Wyoming fans, they've got to drive back up to Laramie and Cheyenne. And so, yeah, it's just a blast for all of us.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting and a lot of fun for you, Mark. All right, my friend, always appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, bud, take care.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. What a story there. With Ryan Staub, 7 of 10, 157 yards and 2 touchdowns. The only guy throwing for touchdowns in that game for the Buffs. 12:50 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We got Buy or Sell Stock Watch coming up at 105. Don't miss that. We'll be right back.
Don't sweat it, NoCo. With cooler temperatures upon us, that only means more red-hot takes on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, coming up, final hour of the show. We got Buy or Sell, but we do a unique edition of Buy or Sell on Mondays. It's the Stock Watch for all six of the teams that we talk about, all six of the football teams that we talk about. Up, down, stay the same. We'll get into that coming up next. It's the whole show. Plus, we'll break down Broncos, Titans. Ooh, another one of those games where it didn't feel like it's a win. A lot of weird things in that one, though. How are we feeling about Bo Nix, Hooligans? Buy or Sell coming up next.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.